Amen and amen. It's a wonderful time in the presence of God tonight. And for all of those that will be listening to us all over the world, we believe God has a purpose for this season in our life. This is the time that we really need the power of God in our life. We need the grace that God gives. We need the ability that God gives. And I perceive that God is teaching us the secret of activating the power of God, activating the grace of God. Those things are there, but they got to be activated. You may have a current flowing everywhere, but it's got to be activated. Glory to God. And, you know, the enemy wants us to live in ignorance so that we can be deactivated. You know, there are a lot of villages, you know, in this nation, in Nigeria, that, you know, that you see the pole, the electricity pole, and, you know, all these wiring system and everything, we just pass through their village. But when you pass through those villages in the night, you see they are in the dark. But yet, there's power that is flowing everywhere. Glory to God. So they need to get a transformer. They need to get some things to get themselves connected to power. Praise the name of the Lord. For the fact that everybody is benefiting from it, and the thing is passing the frontage of their house, that doesn't mean that they will benefit from it. Somebody has to connect. Glory to God. God is giving us the grace to connect with the power of God and activate the power of God so that we can begin to live the kind of purposeful life that God wants us to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is only possible when we have the power of God. Glory to God. It's at our disposal, but we must learn to begin to walk out our salvation with trembling and fear. What will make it a thing of reality, we must begin to tap into it, receive instruction from the Lord, and begin to walk in the power of God. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. You know, we fail most times not because God is powerless, and not because, you know, we don't have what it takes. The Bible says God has given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness. But most times we do not take advantage of it because we are ignorant of it. And you see, there's no time for that now because we are living a very critical time. The times we are living in demands that you and I walk in the power of God. And when Paul was talking to the church in Ephesians chapter 6, he was even telling them that they've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Glory to God. They have to be strong in the reality of Christ and in the power of his might. They've got to come to a place of established position in the spirit, a place of submission to the will of God, so that they can begin to activate the power of God. Praise the name of the Lord. The place of the cross in their life. That's why I tell to them, say, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because a lot of believers today, they know Jesus as a savior, but they do not know him as Lord. You know, knowing him as a savior precede you moving into a new dimension whereby you begin to submit to him as Lord. You see, you don't start with knowing him as Lord because it will be very difficult to submit to him. You only submit to the one you recognize as the one who loves you so dearly that he gave his life unto you. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, you know, we have the hireling and we have the true shepherd of the sheep. And the Bible says the true shepherd in John chapter 10 is the one that laid down his life for the sheep. So he said, my sheep, they know my voice and they hear my voice, and the voice of the stranger they will not follow. Why is it that they follow him? It's simply because they have recognized him as the one who is willing to lay down his life. Not just willing, he's the one that even laid down his life for them. Praise the name of the Lord. And you have to be strong in this position. Glory to God. You have to be strong in this position. You have to learn to be affirmative. Every time the devil is giving it to you, you tell him, he said, I see, I'm under a new management. My life has come under a new management. I'm living my life in total submission to the authority of the word of God. And you have to be strong in that area. To keep and to maintain that position, it demands a level of strength. Glory to God. And you know, how much submissive you are will determine how much power you can release and how much power you can receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. I love, you know, in those days we used to, there was this book that I read, and you know, just made a phrase, and it said, the deeper the cross, the deeper the life. Glory to God. He said, how much you can die will determine how much of God's power you can carry. Glory to God. Because before you come to a place of life, you must first have to die. You must first abide in that position. Glory to God. You must be ready to go to the cross together with him. Glory to God. When you identify with his death, it is then you can become sharer of his power. Amen and amen. Let me go practical so that you understand what I'm saying. So that the apostolic concept will not look ambiguous unto you. You know, you see, the power of God is flowing in your life. It's flowing in your vein. But the way to activate it is for you to identify with him in the place of death. If you are not ready to deny yourself, glory to God, you are alive. You understand? But reckon it to be so. When you see the phraseology in the book of Romans 12, it says, I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, present yourselves unto God. That's what he was talking about, as a living sacrifice. That's different between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice. We don't give to God a dead sacrifice. If it's a dead sacrifice, then you can afford to manhandle the dead sacrifice, afford to use, to do anything with the sacrifice. But it's a living sacrifice. Glory to God. In other words, he must have agreed with his reasoning before he walked his way to that position in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So he said, present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. He said, this is your reasonable and acceptable service unto God. So we are coming as a living sacrifice. You understand? You know inside of you that this is what I ought to do, but you surrender your will to God. You decide not to go your own way, but to go the way of God. That's what it means to be submissive to the Lordship of Christ. And until you are willing to take that position of death in the spirit, there is no way the life of God can be activated through your life. That's what Paul used. He said, I die daily so that I may be alive in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you see, actually, God has called us as believers to come and die. Because if we refuse to die, there is no way his life can really find expression through us. So the death there is not to say you are going to go and hang yourself. You have to go and hang yourself somewhere on a tree and say, I want to die. Or you take a knife and you stab yourself. No. You understand? To deny yourself. That's what it means. Glory to God. You know, Paul said, through the cross, I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. You wonder the amount of power and authority in the spirit that this man controls. He leases and he shook his own generation for God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. See, that's nothing God cannot do through you. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to me. You have read in the Bible that God said, you should forgive those who have offended you. Is that not so? Glory to God. How many of you know you need the power of God to forgive? You see, you need the power of the devil to have bitterness in your heart and to nurture unforgiveness in your heart. But to release people, you need the power of God. But you see, the power of God is there. But if you are not ready to submit your mind to God, present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. That's the identification with God in the place of death. If you are not ready to do that, the power of God to release and to forgive an offender will not be released through your life. You see, strength is not how much of charismatic anointing you can release, but how much of this forgiveness you can release. Glory to God. How much of this life of Christ you can release. Praise the name of the Lord. That is strength. That is ability. Glory to God. That's divine ability. That is the kind of elevation that God wants to bring into our life. That's why the Bible says those that suffer with him, they are the ones that will do what? That will reign with him. He said our present suffering is not what to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The present suffering there, you understand, you know, that he said we should suffer with him is for you to know what to do and decide to do what God wants you to do. Just like Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. Does it mean he cannot do anything? He said, I can call down legions. He could turn stones to bread. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. That is what we suffer as a believer. Knowing what you can do, what you have the capability of doing as a person, and you decide not to do it so that God can live his life through you. That is what we are talking about. That is power. That is anointing. Hallelujah. Come and say that is anointing. Come and say that is anointing. So every time you say, anointing Followed me. Glory to God. Let's go to Golgotha. Hallelujah. When we get to that place, the anointing will flow. Glory to God. But until we are ready to get to that point, the power cannot be released through us. That's why the Bible describes some believers as people who have the form, but they deny the force of godliness. Right? Because they are living unto themselves. They are disobedient children. So you see, the spirit of this world is at work in them. The prince of the power of the world find it easy to manifest and operate through them. Why? Because they love God, they like the things of God, they like to identify with the things of God, but they will never pay the price of self-denial. Glory to God. All their life, they are used to living a life of self-indulgence. You understand? They live unto themselves. Self-love has been enthroned in their heart. They are under bondage to self. Glory to God. Listen, until you begin to come to the place of light, you cannot even know how much you have been enslaved to the flesh. If you know your level of slavery to the flesh, you will cry to God for deliverance. Amen and amen. That's why when men are married to their flesh, they cannot do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says their eyes is full of adultery. Why? They are married to their senses. When people are married to their senses, no, the Bible describes those people, say they cannot stop sinning. Glory to God. They cannot. You know, it was describing some ministers, but not just all about ministers now, you understand, but even children of God is just like that. When people are married to their senses, they are living a life of self-indulgence, they may want to stop sinning. They cannot stop sinning. Because there's a kind of relationship that exists between the flesh and the world of the spirit, which belongs to the devil. And the children that relationship is battling is sin. And because they are more alive unto that, you see what happens. So they cannot stop sinning. Their eyes is full of adultery. They are so lustful. They are so greedy. They are so covetous. They think more about self in their life. Because they are not ready to live a selfless life, they cannot stop, you understand, breaking the laws of God, violating the instruction of God, defying the authority of God. It is not there. For some of them will do it and they'll be crying. Oh God, I don't want to offend you, you know, but you know, God, you know, God help me. You know, it's not my fault. Oh, I like you, God. Oh, you understand? They like God, but they cannot stop it. You see, that trend must be broken in our life. It's a cycle of defeat. That's why you see people rising and falling, rising and falling, rising and falling, rising and falling. Because, you know, they've not come to a place whereby they are strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the way to cement your place and your position in the spirit is through this speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. You become more strong. You come to a place of establishment in that position. Glory to God. He said, you have to understand this present truth. Not just to understand it, you have to be established in this present truth. Glory to God. You have to learn to maintain your place of and position of freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to break into this dimension of exercising your authority over the devil, you are destroying the power of death, you know, that is cleaving around your life. You understand? That is trying to crowd your mind, that is trying to pull you down spiritually and cause you to revert back into the flesh. You understand? Then you can begin to gain ascendancy over the adversary. Praise the name of the Lord. Because I tell you, the devil don't like you a bit. Amen and amen. That's why I pity a lot of lazy Christians today. You know, we are running a kind of Christianity today that we make people to believe that somebody is doing something for them. We make them believe that somebody is praying for them. We make people to believe that your backs are covered. We make them believe that you don't have to sow for themselves. Glory to God. They don't have to be diligent. Somebody is being diligent on your behalf. Glory to God. You see, you have to be able to take care of your own farmland. If not so, weeds will cover the whole place. Praise the Lord. He said, I look at the field of a slothful man and a sluggard. He said, and I receive instruction from God. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. You know what happened? Just little of this sluggishness and slothfulness in their life. You see, the enemy invaded their life. And you see, the life of many believers today are crowded with so many things. You understand? Things they don't have to worry about becomes an object of concern. Becomes something that really weighs them down. Becomes something that really stops them and hinders them from pursuing the will of God for their life. And they cannot continue in the plan of God for their life. Praise the name of the Lord. But I believe God has a plan of continuity. Glory to God. You know, God wants us to abound in the work of the Lord. And anyone that really wants to abound in the work of the Lord must learn the principle of abounding in grace. You know, the way to activate the grace of God, to abound in grace so that you can find His grace sufficient. You know, when you are praying, it's a sign of humility. Hallelujah. He said, God is able to make all grace abound unto you. Glory to God. That is the way to activate the grace of God. He's able to make all grace abound unto you because you have come. Glory to God. You see, God only give it to those people that ask. Glory to God. Those who are in need of it. Those who wanted it. Those who are ready to run the race of destiny. Those who are ready to walk within the line. Those who knows that the devil is a cunning devil and he can sideline anyone at any time. He can make you fall flat on your face. Praise the name of the Lord. And when you are aware of this, you know, this goes beyond you and it goes beyond what you can personally do by yourself. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Amen and amen. You know, that's what makes us to look for grace. That's what makes us to look for grace. Who then shall deliver me from this body of sin? He said, what a wretched man that I am. Then I begin to look for grace again. Glory to God. I begin to look for grace again. I begin to look for grace again. You see, until we are pushed to the wall in our lives and come to a point whereby we know that we can only succeed by the grace of God, we will not know how to pray. Glory to God. We will not learn to go to God in the place of prayer. We will not know how to begin to exercise ourselves, training our spirit to pray in order to activate the grace of God. You see, grace of God is not a religious factor. It's a function of the spirit. It's a dimension of the spirit that God really wants to put into our life. And it's of God. It's not something you put like a water you drink and you read some psalms inside the water and all of those things. No, it's not. It's beyond that. You activate it in the spirit. Glory to God. You get an impartation in the spirit. The spirit of grace will come to rest upon your life. Hallelujah. Most time when you begin to engage your mind in prophetic intercession, you begin to engage your mind in this prophetic dimension of speaking in tongues because you now have the understanding of it. It's not to say, well, you know, how be it no man understand what he said. You understand? You understand that you are speaking in tongues. You may not know the meaning of it, but you know that you are speaking mysteries unto God. Hallelujah. You are pouring out your heart before the Lord. And while you are doing that, grace is going to come. God is going to cause the spirit of grace to rest upon your life. Listen to me. When the spirit of grace rests upon your life in the place of prayer, giving you the power and the ability to live above your present challenges and present situation, you may not see it physically. You may not see it in the natural context, but you begin to know that something is now at work in your life. Glory to God. He said, I perceive the grace of God upon the church of Macedonia. Glory to God. You understand? You begin to live as counteractive people. You understand? You will not live your life as occasion demands. You will not live your life as situations of life demand. You begin to live your life as the word of the Lord commands. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's a function of grace. I perceive these Macedonian people. You understand? They must be people of prayer. Glory to God. Men who have converted the grace of God in the place of prayer. Glory to God. The Bible says Jesus prayed and he was hard in that he feared. You know, what is it? God gave him grace. God give us grace to live above our weaknesses. God give us grace to live God kind of life. God give us grace to live life as he desire. God give us grace to live life according to his commandment. Glory to God. He said, because I have loved the Father and I do everything that he has commanded. He said, you must have grace to do that. How many of us can boldly say here that I do all that the Father commanded me? But you can. You need grace. The moment your mind is confronted with the reality of your natural weaknesses, grace is standing by your side. The moment your mind is confronted with the reality of truth, he said, truth and grace comes through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, this is the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the grace that I give you the grace to do it. The one who has given you the instruction is the one who wants to fulfill it in and through our lives. But we've got to learn to activate it in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Set the power of life in motion. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. And if something is a law, it's a spiritual law, you must know how to operate the law. Glory to God. Because laws have procedures. It has order. Some things have to get to somewhere, get to somewhere before something is activated, and something is activated, and something is activated. Praise the name of the Lord. So you must know how to operate the law of the spirit of life. You know, even when the Bible talks about faith, it calls it the law of faith. Glory to God. So it's not everybody that knows how to operate their faith. If you know how to operate your faith in God, it's going to produce results for you. Glory to God. Because you are carrying a powerful device in your hand and you don't know how to operate it, you know, you are shortchanging yourself. The problem is not with the device. The problem is your ignorance. You don't know how to vet it. So you are shortchanging yourself. You cannot maximize, you understand, you know, the privileges and the opportunities you have to the device that is in your hand. Amen and amen. That's why God is raising apostolic teachers. Glory to God. Men who are teaching apostles, who are instructors in righteousness, who will tell you, put your hand on the trigger, hold it firmly, you understand, then open up and begin to release. Glory to God. Amen and amen. It makes life to become more exciting. I'm excited doing what I'm doing today. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Teaching you to function in the dimension of grace. It's not just for you to know that the grace is there. If you know that it's there, but you don't know how to activate it, brother, you get more frustrated. He said, but they said the grace is there. Why am I not enjoying the grace of God? He said, that church? He said, I perceive the grace of God. You have acquired the grace of God. You understand? You know, to a level, you understand that the forces and, you know, their environmental challenges are not enough to stop them from living the life of God. You see, things that want us, you see, those things will always be there. Hallelujah. Most of us, we always deceive ourselves. We think that, well, when I have more money, when I'm lifted in life, and I begin to do things for God, then I'll become more freer. You understand? See, you become more preoccupied. So take your mind off that. Because that's the way a lot of people begin to think, you understand, and build their mindset along that line. That where, when I'm lifted up, I'm promoted, you know, and I have business of my own, I'm the one running my business. Because you are the one running your business, I mean, you'll be free. You understand? Your life can become more crowded. You understand? The more crowded with a lot of itineraries, with a lot of things to attend to, and a lot of other things. You need grace. You see, God wants us to all come to a place whereby we know that we needed grace, so we can all come to the throne of grace to receive help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Because in the time of need, what you think you need is money. It's not money, you need grace. Hallelujah. Look at the choking environment that those guys found themselves in 2 Corinthians chapter. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now? The church at Macedonia. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And Paul said, I testify. You see, we always find that on Sunday, I was sharing in the house here. You understand that, you know, the church in the book of Revelation chapter 2, that God said, well, you say you have your church in the place where Satan dwells. And we were saying, you know, that it's not where you dwell, you understand, that determines, you know, your output spiritually. What will determine your output is he who dwells in you. Glory to God. He said, greater is he that is in you. You may dwell in the place where Satan have his seat. You understand? So it's not the situation of life that determines what you do in life, how you live your life, how you organize your life. You understand? It is the life of God that is in you. That's why I see a lot of Christians today who have a lot of excuses. Glory to God. I say, oh, this is the reason, and that is the reason. That's not the reason. That's where you want to live your life. Glory to God. There's no reason. He said, oh, ye man, you don't have any excuse. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because that's because the grace of God is there for you. Amen and amen. And you see, it will never be convenient for any one of us. If you are waiting for the day when it's going to be convenient for you to begin to serve the Lord, begin to walk in the will of God, begin to do the will of God for your life, listen to me, you are not going to get one. Amen and amen. There's not going to be a convenient day. There's not going to be the day when the will of God will be so comfortable for you to do and you're so relaxed at doing it. Then it's not God any longer. It's the flesh that is at work. But when God begins to give you grace in the heat of the battle, you are diving, you are flowing as if as nothing is happening. Amen and amen. So the one who dwells in you, it's time for us to begin to live by the power of the indwelling spirit. You know, and learn to begin to activate the abilities of God, these new potentials that we have in Christ Jesus. You wonder why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Christ is there. How do you activate the strength of Christ in the place of prayer? Glory to God. Through Christ that strengthens me. Glory to God. That strengthens me. In other words, you know, you find yourself in the midst of, you know, tragic situation of life, things that we want to paralyze your faith, we want to destroy your faith work, and all of those things trying to choke you and pull you down spiritually. You understand? You see, why not key into Christ in the Spirit? Hallelujah. You have access to the throne of grace at such time. Glory to God. Then He gives you strength. He strengthens you. He strengthens you against your adversary. He strengthens you to work in the will of God. Why? Because you've got to learn to overcome the adversary first before you can go ahead to do the will of God. So there are two kinds of strength that God gives to us. When the strength of God is at work in our life, we receive strength to overcome the adversary, and we receive strength to walk in the will of God. So when God strengthens you, He strengthens you to overcome the adversary. It strengthens you to mortify your body. It strengthens you to live above your situation and circumstances. It strengthens you to see beyond the mountains that is standing before you and steering you to the face. Glory to God. You see, the way the mountains become a lowland is when you are praying the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then you can look at your mountain and say, who has that mountain? Before Jerusalem, you shall become a lowland. Hallelujah. Why? Because you've seen it as a lowland before you begin to prophesy. Because it's a lowland to a man of the Spirit. But see, to elevate yourself in the Spirit, to come to the place whereby you begin to see the way Christ sees. Hallelujah. To sit with Him in the heavenly places and begin to perceive everything around your life, you know, the way, you understand, God is seeing it. That's what we are talking about. And that's what happens when you begin to increase your momentum in the Spirit, in the place of prayer, in the place of speaking in tongues. It's not just a fun time. It's a form of spiritual exercise. It's time for us to exercise ourselves in godliness. Glory to God. So they found themselves in a choky spiritual climate. Glory to God. Some of us want to walk in a place where they say, we're going to pray 8 o'clock in the morning, and you see, every one of us, we should cooperate here, and everything is just going on fine. Nobody's attacking you. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's tempting you. Nobody's pulling down. That's the place you want to walk. You understand? I see a lot of people begin to shop for a place to walk like that. You understand? And they've not got one. Glory to God. So they're going to move from one place to the other place. Because there's nowhere you get to that you will not face opposition. Glory to God. Just move to a new apartment, you understand? Your next door neighbor who have never known you from Adam will now become your enemy. Before you know it, some people begin to watch your steps and say, look at the way it's fetching water, you know, water splash on the floor. I say, water splash, where you are carrying water, won't it splash? You begin to see all of them. I've got to leave that place. Go to another place, go and build your own house. By the time you build your own, at least you are not going to buy the whole estate and the whole street. If you buy the whole estate, you are not going to live in the estate alone. Before you know it, even if you are living the estate alone, your gate man will now become your enemy. Glory to God. You want to blow up your windscreen one day. Then you are saying, God, why will someone not react and become crazy like this? How can one really live life of God like this? You say we should be patient. Is patience easy now? You say, love your love, boy. I think this has been overstretched. Can one really love like this? That God wants you to love. But the situation around our life will not allow us. Glory to God. He said, now friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia or Macedonia province. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1. Glory to God. That is from the Message Bible. He said, fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. How can someone be happy even when he's desperately poor? He must have grace. And the local soul, the one they want us to be miserable. You see, every time you begin to think about your financial condition, what happened to you? Your spirit gone to a zero level. You are maybe up before you go flat. When you look at the future that is ahead of you that looks so bleak and say, where are we? You want to do express for God before you go flat. And if you are not careful, when you are in such a flat condition, your spirit becomes dormant. Glory to God. You understand? And in a sleepy mood. And you know what the enemy is going to come? When the Son of Man is asleep, his enemy come and sow tears. And some ideas begin to come into your mind at such time. And one day is waiting for execution. And that's the day when the devil really wants to execute you. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why the situation we find ourselves today, the kind of environment we find ourselves, does not spare us from cultivating this spirit of praying in tongues. Hallelujah. You've got to activate it. You've got to be good at it. You've got to have constant practice of this. It must be part of your life. It must become a way of life. Spirit, I want to choke you. Hallelujah. You wake up in the morning, you hear news that are so devastating. Before you know it, your spirit is choked. Most times you set out in the morning as if I just go out there and go and descend on somebody. The person has so much provoke you that you feel like tear him into pieces. You understand? But see, there are people that such things have happened to them, they will not tear others into pieces. Rather than tearing them to pieces, they say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They must have grace to have done that, to be able to do that. And that's the kind of life you and I want to live. That's why we are Christians. That's why we gave our life to Christ. But that's why you've got to learn to be strong in the Lord. You see, because you are there yesterday, does not mean you'll be there today. Glory to God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, it said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, grace is something you activate on a daily basis. Hour by hour, minute by minute, seconds by seconds. Grace, you know, is acquired and exhausted per second. Glory to God. So just exhaust the one you have. You see, God still have a lot of it at his disposal. God have the storage of grace. Hallelujah. And God is willing to give. God is willing to give. He says, anyone lack wisdom, let him have of God that give a library. In other words, you know, we want insight into this. Begin to speak in tongues. When we find ourselves in the midst of trouble, most of the time we don't know what we need to do just to pray in the spirit. He said, can't it all joy? How can I count it all joy? Is it a thing of joy? You see, the things of God look so shrouded in my sight. But understanding comes when you begin to prime yourself in the spirit. When you begin to pray in tongues. When you begin to pray in tongues. You will learn to count it all joy. Glory to God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will begin to bring to the surface the reason why you've got to count it all joy. Hallelujah. If not so, see, you are on your way out. You get hungry, you get bitter with God, you get frustrated with God, as if God has offended you, but he's done nothing bad to you. You lack understanding. That's why he said in James chapter 1, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray! Is anyone sick? Because most times we wonder, say, why is it that Christians are sick? God did not say you will not be sick. When you are sick, there's always a way out. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Is anyone afflicted? Let somebody bail him out. You don't need a bailout. You need to face it. Glory to God. Because you learn through your affliction. He said, let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Is anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. Hallelujah. You tap into the wisdom of God. You tap into the understanding of the happenings in the spirit. You begin to understand the deep intentions of God in the place of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. He said, let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Is that the first thing that comes to our mind? Pray. He said, still pray. You take your phone. SOS. Save my soul. SOS message. He said, let him pray because you don't understand. That's the greatest moment of your life. Most times we miss out on the greatest moment of our life when God is willing to share his life with us. When God is willing to breathe upon our life, but we don't have understanding. He said, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He said, for every good and perfect gift that come from the Father of light, from whom there is no shadow of turning, neither there is any variableness. There are good things God is packaging into your direction. That's why when you pray in the spirit, he said, you know that all things work out together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I had not seen, he had no heart, neither has any mind conceived what the Lord had prepared or what God intends. You understand? For those that love him, it's beyond natural human comprehension. And what is beyond knowledge, what happened? You tap into him by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are always sustained by the Spirit. Glory to God. You see, you must know the key to your spiritual sustenance. You must know your consecration kit. It's a form of consecration kit. Don't just see that you're going to sit back here and you're going to be sustained like that. No. God has promised to sustain you. Work out your salvation with trembling and fear. The key to it is to begin to pray in the spirit. And the understanding that God begin to give to you will begin to sustain your infirmity. Will begin to sustain your weakness. Instead of you getting drowsy and getting weak and getting wearied and getting sorrowful and depressed, you are now full of joy. You are now full of joy. You can count it all joy, not without reason, but because of a higher reason. How do we break into the dimension of this higher reason? You understand? When you begin to do things that are beyond human reasoning. Speaking in tongues is beyond human reasoning. It's beyond human reasoning. So that's the place you tap into God. It's thought. It's not our thought. Glory to God. His ways are not our ways. You link up with the ways and the thoughts of God in the place of speaking in tongues. Glory to God. You are strong in the Lord. You maintain your position in the spirit. Say, Lord, you've come to put me in the place of freedom. I'm not looking for bailout. I'm not looking for anybody to free me. I love some expressions in the life of Paul the Apostle. He said, I'm God's prisoner. In other words, I don't want my imprisonment to end. Hallelujah. I want to get to heaven with the chain of the Holy Ghost in my hand. Glory to God. Not the chain of the devil. Why? Because if your hands are free, there's no chain there. The devil will put one. Glory to God. Glory to God. The devil is going to chain you down to something. It's going to make you to begin to desire some things. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at these people. You see, I'm talking about the environment we are living in today. So, you see, the pollution is there. The pollution is there. And I was sharing on Sunday that, you know, you go to land to cover your mouth, to cover your nose, to cover a lot of places that are exposed to all manner of spiritual germs. Cover your back. Watch your spiritual health. Glory to God. Don't allow virus. You see, I begin to understand some things. You know, most times God make you to do some things because he can give you understanding in some areas. You know, when people buy phones, you understand? I just said they just bought the phone just 2 days or a day. Before you know it, they will go and take virus from someone. And the phone begin to overheat. The phone begin to malfunction. I just bought this thing. They say, yeah, you just bought it. Come on, let's scan it. By the time you scan it, you're going to see that this is virus. That small thing, we just defunct everything that is on the phone. There's a place where believers malfunction. Why? Because Satan have crept into their heart. He said, I'm afraid if Satan have beguiled you, maybe he has lured you away from your place of pure and sincere devotion to God. He has lied to you. He has sown some things into your life like a seed. Most times some words just drop. Boom, and you think it is nothing. And before you know it, it's a virus. And somebody was fighting or sometimes saying, he said, you can't tell me that. Where is that virus? You show me that virus. I said, virus are invisible things. You cannot see them. Say, no! What I cannot see, I cannot believe. Yeah, you cannot believe it, but the phone is malfunctioning. Now, take your memory card, put it in another phone, you see what's going to happen again. Glory to God. So you cannot see virus, you understand, but you can see the manifestation. You know, something is wrong. The Bible says, to one man, all sin. To the disobedience of one, all died. You don't see that one man. Yes, you can see the manifestation of death. You can see the manifestation of sin in your life. And so now, to the obedience of one man, all can now become righteous. Glory to God. They can live a good life because they found grace in the sight of the Lord. You see, since you cannot see the first man, and yet, but you know the manifestation of the first man is so evident in our lives. Glory to God. The same way, you don't need to see the second man when his grace is at work in your life. You're going to see the manifestation. Hallelujah. You're going to see the manifestation. That's why I said, I pity lazy Christians who are waiting on others, you understand, to do their spiritual work for them. It's not going to work that way. You see, deception starts from that level. The level of somebody's going to do it for you. No, that is not the order of the New Testament. They just shall live by their own faith. Glory to God. It's that with diligence, hard to your faith, virtue. You've got to be diligent. Glory to God. Listen to me. If you are not diligent in your place of work, your boss may likely sack you. Before you know it, you are just marking time when you are looking for the next person to get out of that place. You understand? You are going to be that person. That's why we try hard to be diligent. So when you are looking at diligence, it's not within the context of natural activities. But in terms of spiritual activity, you've got to be diligent. Be master over your whole life. Take authority over your whole life.
The keys are in your hand, not in the hand of the devil, not in the hand of your friend. You determine the direction you want your life to go. God will not take you and put you and make you to begin to move in that direction. No, if we only show you, you got to make a decision to walk in the direction that God has prescribed. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. I've shared in the house several times of, you know, a man in the Soviet Union, you know, in the days of communism. You understand, this man was arrested, happened to be a pastor. His whole family were arrested. You know, some of them were maimed, their head were cut off and all of those things. This man was languishing in prison. And he said he had a covenant with God that every new inmate that is brought to that prison, he said he's going to give him his breakfast, glory to God, or his lunch. He's going to sacrifice a meal for all of them. Can you be in that position? You understand? When you've done nothing. Just because of communism. And they say, you did not call the name of your God. You were there. In other words, God said, the devil is trying to say, with this situation you find yourself, you can't show love to people any longer. Life of love is gone. He tried to choke us. Grace make us to break away. In the place of praying the Spirit, that's why you break away. You free yourself from the chain of the enemy. You have been free before, but you can revert back into the flesh. That's why he said to them in Galatians chapter 5, he said, stand in the liberty we are in Christ and made you free. Don't allow yourself to be entangled again. It's your responsibility. If you don't know how to maintain what you have, you'll be entangled again. Somebody will do something naughty and will keep a life of love in you. It will choke the life of God in you. You understand? And what will happen is that death will begin to find expression. And we are exposed to this on a daily basis. By what we consume. You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, he said to them, out of all the trees in the garden, thou shalt freely eat. But he particularly said to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. The day thou shalt eat, you will surely do what? You will surely do what? Knowledge of good and evil is talking about natural things. It's talking about things you know through your five senses. The day you consume, the word eat means consume. Because what we consume always consumes us. That's why you see, you wonder why your spiritual life begins to wane. Because you are operating from, you know, a position whereby you have been consumed. When you talk about cancer today, you are talking about a consumption. It consumes every part of that person's body. It spreads weaknesses. You become so weak, so lean, it consumes every organ of the body. So that is it. No, before you know it, your spiritual organ have been deactivated. Because of things you consume. And every day you consume. Through your eyes. You consume. Through what you hear. And those things are coming into your mind. Are coming into your life. And you know what the devil is trying to do? To make your mind. To modulate your mind. So that you can set your affections. On things on earth. Rather than on things in heaven. And the moment that is achieved in your life. You cannot be strong. You understand? Over the adversary any longer. It will use more things to pull you down. Because your mind is set. Your mind is set. You know, you modulate your mind in the place of speaking in tongues. As you begin to dive in the spirit, you begin to modulate your mind. You begin to break away and break free from those demonic chains. You begin to vomit the poison that the enemy has fed you with. Hallelujah. He has fed us with lies. Every day you go out in the morning, you hear things. It seems as if I just think they're not injurious to your life, but it's to me they're injurious to your faith. These are weapons that the devil is using against us. You understand? Because it's working contrary to the life of God that is in us. What the devil is introducing to us is something that will counteract and choke the life of God that is within us. But the life of God cannot be choked if, you understand, you begin to activate it. It stays aglow. When you stay aglow in the spirit, glory to God. I pray you understand this. This is spiritual technology. The Holy Ghost give you insight into this. And you begin to practice it in your life. Amen and amen. You begin to walk in that victory. You know, victory is there for us. The paperwork said we are victorious people. But we've got to walk it out. Make our victory a thing of reality. He said, make your calling and election a thing of reality. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, here you are going to see the spirit of death. They were incredibly happy. Though desperately poor. The prayer triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous spirit. Glory to God. They were living as counteractive people. The devil could not pull them down. The devil cannot choke the life of God in them. Don't allow the life of God in you to be choked. If you don't want to be choked, when you find yourself in situation and condition whereby you're about being choked, you are provoked beyond, you know, beyond your limit and all of those things, you understand, happy to this dimension. Glory to God. Glory to God. Break free. Because God has made you free.
through the cross of Jesus. You understand? You have been made free. You are a free man. Then you go to learn the principle of identification. Amen and amen. In John chapter 4, verse 34, you know, Jesus, after he met with the woman by the side of the well, and the disciples asked him, they said, why you are so active? What's going on here? Has someone brought food for you to eat? But the other time we were going out, we went out to look for food for you. But now you've forgotten everything about the food. But what's going on here now? And he said to them, "Say no." He said, "I have a meat that you know nothing about." And they said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." You understand? And to finish it. My meat. What consumes me? So instead of us being consumed with the will of God, we are consumed with our material needs. We are consumed with legitimacy. I'm not saying legitimate needs. Some of us, we are not covetous. We are not greedy. We just want the basic things of life. That's all. Not to say we want to buy one best, the latest car in town or anything, but just something to move around. But it can become a consumption. Glory to God. That consumes you. Can you see someone? You know, you see, when he said, when the reality of God consumes me, you understand, I become active for God rather than me being deactivated. How many of you know that hunger for other things, you understand, can deactivate you from following the path of righteousness? He was actually hungry. Now, he said, "I have a meat you know nothing about. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." And he moved forward to tell them, he said, "When you know this, you will not be hungry again." That was what we said to the woman by the side of the well. He said, "The water that I'm going to give unto you, if you have known the gift of God that is standing before you, you will ask him to give you to drink." He said, "That which I will give unto you shall be in you a fountain springing up unto eternal life." He said, "When you drink from this, you will not be thirsty again." In other words, your thirst for other things will go as you begin to flow in divine life. That's why when we sing that song, "Come and quench this thirsty of my soul, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more." You see, the quench we are talking about, it's not just your hunger for God. It's, "Come and quench my hunger for other things." How many of you know that your hunger for other things can die when you are consumed with the will of God? How many of you know that we have things we desire in our life? No, this is not the time to live for our selfish desire. This is time to live for the desire of God. Every time we are consumed with our natural desire, we are down in the spirit. And that thing will begin to drive us, begin to motivate us, begin to govern, we begin to rule our life, we begin to dominate our life, we come under the government of our needs. We begin to misbehave. What happened? Death. The devil has staged a comeback into our life. In Romans chapter 8, he said, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin." And, no, he's not saying the law of sin, because there are people who are free from the law of sin, but they are not free from the law of death. This is the place whereby you break the power of death in your life. Glory to God. You put the power of death into subjection. Glory to God. You put the power of God, you know, you begin to exercise the authority of God in the spirit over the spirit of death in your life. That's why you can't afford to be lazy. You can't afford to be slack. That was what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, "I beat my body and I put it under." The place to beat your body is in the place of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I make it to come into subjection. I beat it, I crack it down. How many of you know that you can crack down your body? I exercise authority over my body. I have needs, but I have authority over my needs. Can you just imagine, you have needs, you have money you want to pay back to people, and all of those things, and somebody come with some terms of compromise. So cheap that to be covered or nobody will know. You understand? But I have needs, but I will not come under the burden of my needs. I will not come under the control of my needs. We need grace that time. Can you just imagine? You are broke. You don't even have money to go out for that day. And other tenants in the house, they just say that. But as so and so, because they see you as a Christian, they now gather out the money to pay NEPA bill. So please, put your own 5,000. You don't even know what to take. You don't have to take to where you are going. Will you tell them that you don't have? For that day, you have. At least if your own is not there, how would they give you the money? So you now put your own, you now make 100. We now settle these NEPA people who are disturbing us. We said to them. I mean, if you know that I have needs, but I will not come under the control of my needs. I need grace to do that. And this is what I got to activate on a daily basis. That grace will continually multiply. I love one translation. It said, you know, in an ever-increasing measure, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, that may become a partaker of his divine nature. Because you will escape the corruption that is in the world through their natural desire, the world is corrupt today. You understand? Does it mean that we cannot revert back to that? Every day the devil is playing the game to revert back to the flesh, where we came out from, to bring us back to keep thinking. You know, when those guys left Egypt, you understand, they were not thinking about going back in the first place. You understand? But after a while, when they settled down a little bit, they began to say, they have now have time to compare and contrast. We used to eat. No, the thought of going back now came. You understand? We may not set out like that. See, the devil wants to stay here, come back. The devil wants to choke us. He wants to kill us. And how do you do? You see, most times we find ourselves literally in that condition when you are being choked. Hallelujah. 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 Have you seen someone who is struggling with life before? Life is the back. It's being choked. And that's the way the devil tries to hook us most of the time. You've got to learn to break free. You got to learn. That's why you're going to see somebody who is a coma like this. Somebody begin to press their chest. Just for them to just press it. Put something there. Press it. He's struggling with that. Most of me, we try to face it. That God, what's going on here? I'm dead. What's going on here? And most times when you are dead, people don't know. But you are just a walking corpse. The Bible says because they love pleasure more than God. Yourself, he said they are dead when they are still alive. Their mind is set on wrong things. Glory to God. You know what he now said to his disciples in John chapter 4? He said, say ye not that it's 4 months to the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes, the field is ripe for the harvest. You know why is it that his disciples could not see all of those things? Because they are consumed with the present and not with the reality of the future. So they could not see. And in Matthew chapter 16, Peter made the same father error. You know what he said? And Jesus looked at him in the face. He said, you are mindful of the things that pertains to the nature of man and not the things that pertain to the nature of God. You wonder why he took them to Gethsemane to pray and they were playing? And he came back to them. He said he was sorrowful. He was deeply sorrowful. His heart was heavy. That's death. If you don't know that is death, you understand, in Matthew chapter 26, you understand, at the point he said, God, if it is possible, that is death. It's being almost being cut off from the flow of life. It's just beginning to think about, you know, lust for self-preservation. He said, but nevertheless, had your word. You have to say, he went back again the second time. He still met them sleeping. And you know, before that time, he told Peter, he said, Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. He said, if everybody does, I will not. He said, before the cock crow, you are going to deny me. He said, pray, lest you fall. We fall because we do not pray. Pray! And from that moment, it took them to Gethsemane to pray. When they got there, instead of praying, they were playing. He came back to them. He said, they were also full of sorrow. They were weary. He said, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh. You understand? The place to break away from the power of the flesh, you understand, is the way you are speaking it out. You become free. The only thing the devil can remind you of is your problem. It's your need. What you have been believing God for, and he has not done. The deprivation you have suffered. It will bring you the kind of recollection of evil. It will tell you all manner of things. You understand? To weigh you down. But you break free in the spirit. You resist him by faith. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Because most times when we see us praying in tongues, they feel like we're just, you know, these guys, they started again. This charismatic people. We're not just charismatic people. Glory to God. This is the apostolic people. Charismatics don't understand this. All they just know is just speaking tongues. But they don't have understanding. Apostolic have insight and understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they can no sister Balahan Likid and those sister Bran and the kiss high. In Romans chapter 8, you understand? He started telling them in verse 13. He said to them, you can now through the Spirit. Let's see Romans chapter 8. He said, my mate is to do the will of him that sent me. But you can go and read all of this on your own. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Hallelujah. In verse 6, he said, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. And now all your mind is set. And every day our mind is set on natural things. How you are going to make money. How you are going to do that other person. How you are going to make more money than that other person. How you are going to outsmart your friend. How you we think of all manner of things. You cannot condone all of those things in your life. You understand? And in the same container, begin to think about the will of God. That thing will have consumed you. That's why some of you are praying. You're because Jesus' eyes is set on the will of God. That's where he received the energy to pray.
When your mind go off from the will of God, brother, the energy is sapped. You are spiritually drained. Instead of you praying, you are yearning. Can you just imagine somebody who's yearning, you know, five times within 5 minutes. Just say, let's begin to pray in the spirit. You have not been doing that before. It's demonic manifestation. He feels like sleeping. His heart is full. He's weighed down with all manner of things. The mind have traveled all over the place. The mind is given over to buy and selling. And yet we are in the world. We have to get engaged in all of these things. How do we free ourselves for the will of God? To dominate the system of this world that want to choke the life of God from finding expression through us. We have to free ourselves. The devil always wants to get us engaged in activities that is not part of God's will and God's design for our life. We got to learn to break free and say, Lord, this is more important. I put God in his rightful place in my eyes. I put it on my right hand. He said, God, you are taking the place of preeminence in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Doing the will of God is the most in my life. It's not something you can negotiate. Hallelujah. How serious you are about doing this will of God will determine how committed you are to this kind of prayer. Amen and amen. You don't need people to teach you. You understand? That's why I said the love of God, you understand, is the basis for prayer. You don't teach people, you know, how to pray. This is what to ask for. When you are, this is the will of God. This is, you know, if the love of God is there and decide to do the will of God, listen to me, you will pray. Because the devil don't want the will of God to be done. He's want to stop you. Then you got to pray to the one who is able to save you. Glory to God. And you'll be heard. Glory to God. And grace will be given unto you. See, and the angel of the Lord came and ministered unto him. See, most time when you are praying in tongues, God send his angel, dispatch them to minister to you. He said they are ministering spirits to hear us of salvation. Hallelujah. They come minister to him. You understand? They come minister to him. They give him strength. They give him grace. Glory to God. You know, when Daniel was praying, looking for understanding of the will of God who was there, God sent his angel. He said, from the first day you begin to pray, I've dispatched angel Michael to come and deliver the message to you. Glory to God. You know, God is to minister to you. How many of you want ministration in the place of prayer? Learn to speak in tongues. The angels are bringing information, revelation, insight. You don't need to go and join cult so that the occult grand master, the ruler of master of the universe of number two, will come and give you inspiration. No. He said that the spirit in a man that giveth unto him understanding. Glory to God. He said the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth proceeded knowledge and understanding. God is the greatest inspirer. Glory to God. Inspire a man. He live in a man to build an heart. When there wasn't anything like that. Nothing like that have been in existence. He build a tabernacle and becomes a marvel to all the generations of men. You understand? He inspired people. He entered into Eliab. He entered into some men. You understand? In the place of, I don't know what your own assignment is. You understand? You tap from God. You put the devil to shame. Hallelujah. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. In other words, when you set your mind on natural things, what will happen to you? You shall die. How many of us know that we are all guilty of that? And that the world we are living in does not excuse you from this. It cannot spare you from setting your mind on it. Hallelujah. But if you through the spirit do mortify, reorganize your life, because your flesh always gravitates towards this, is mind being set on. And the Bible says in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated. See, we want power, we want strength today. You understand? How strong you are will be determined by how much dominion you have over the things of this world. Glory to God. When you are not strong there, you cannot be strong here. Hallelujah. Things here will begin to control you and rule you and dominate you. You do things because of natural reason and not because of spiritual reason. Men who do things because of natural reason, you understand, they are failures, they are wimps, they are villains. Glory to God. But true victors, you understand, true rep of God, they are people who take instruction from that place. They do things because of higher reason. In the place of speaking in tongues, you understand, you begin to deactivate the operation of death within your body. It's clearing that thing off. The spirit that quickens Jesus from the dead
quicken your mortal body. Say, we quicken you according to his word. Shkandre, kunde, kando, skuria. Scan everything. Quicken me according to your word. Restike la mande kusai. Those things begin to fall to where they belong. You can now see them as they are. You don't use your life to seek and pursue vanity any longer. Because you can see the vanity behind all your pursuit. And now your spirit is elevated. You can ascend on high and begin to walk in the direction of God's will for your life. He said, mortify the deeds of the body. He said, if you, through the spirit. Come on, say, through the spirit. If your spirit is not strong, can you through the spirit mortify? How do you build energy in your spirit? When you speak in tongues. Jakalaba. Mombreketedo, Ristikelaba, Manglegetegos, Langribe de Bose, Taili Branon de Se, Restadia Laba, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Build up yourself upon your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When your spirit is strong, you can mortify. That's what I call crack down the flesh. He said, I beat my body, I put it under. I love the way one of the teachers of the word presented it. It's like an elastic band. And if you don't know how to maintain that level of strength and maintain that order in the spirit, before you know it, when you begin to exercise weariness and weakness, that you begin to revert back. Having it is not enough. To maintain it is where the warfare starts. Glory to God. Glory to God. Before you know it, that's why you're going to see our life begin to revert back. You're going to come back to that place of death again. And when you cut off from God, what happened? Drowsiness, dullness of perception, lack of discernment. You understand? Lack of spiritual judgment, lack of spiritual understanding. No, that's what's going to set in. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. If you want to activate all these fruits in your life, sensitivity, you know, discernment ability, you understand, the love of God finding expression through you, just be a man of the spirit when you learn to mortify the deeds of the flesh. I need it, but I want God. Your flesh says, go for it! I would rather go for God. You don't learn to build up your spirit. Build up yourself upon your most holy faith. Listen to me. The devil will make you think there's more value in that thing you are pursuing than God who has called you. Praise the Lord. As a result of that, a lot of people have made a mess of their destiny. Destinies have been aborted on the account of prayerlessness. But thank God Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He said, when you recover, strengthen thy brethren. I know. Peter is also a man of prayer. He's also a primantis. Hallelujah. You see, we are going to get to a point in our life whereby people will be begging us to stop praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the time we finish the service on Sunday for 3 o'clock, and then we start praying again till 6 o'clock. I hope it's not going to be next Sunday because I won't come. I will be busy already. I will be busy. If there is nothing to be busy for, I will be busy now. I have begging myself busy. You know, at that time, you don't need coercion. You are the one. You see, after I've gone to my house. I said, have you locked the church? Are people praying? I said, go and lock the church and send them out. They say they are not going. Glory to God. Because there's something to build your spirit. You understand? For, you understand? There's a challenge before you. You see, what I see today is that we don't have challenges in our life. And we don't try it. Why? Because we don't want trouble. Something that will put us on our, bring us on our feet and make us to begin to pray. That's why when you see Agbon, you pretend you don't know. But now when you know there's trouble has started, the battle line is drawn. You say, Lord, I will not give in to fear. Your flesh wants to fear, but your spirit wants to walk in courage and power. Shandala kanda baku shandala ba. You through your spirit mortify. You understand the character of the flesh to be afraid. You said, I refuse to fear in the mighty name of Jesus. To subdue fear. You are going to church in the morning and your landlady said, after service. dande kuninde siyala brenongrundunde say rush dande lebo. No divination shall prevail against Israel, neither shall any enchantment. And the tigala,
that is your spirit that knows that, or your flesh don't know that one. Oh, in your flesh never believe that. You must teach your flesh to believe. Until he believes, you are not leaving the house. Then you now go and say, you'll be the first one to go and greet Yaya. Hallelujah. If your spirit is not strong, what happened?
But by the time you are coming from church, you say, yeah. If you think all these things I'm saying is they are stupid things, when you get to high places in life, you will remember all of these things. Because all the babalawo you consult, they will tell you that I won't let me won't be. The person you are studying, won't be. And you remember that, oh, can you come tell me be? Oh, Pastor, I'm on song by Pastor, the man waste time here. I pray tongues. And the kiste branon the likisote ilen brokon the bruno se.
Because all of them with babalawo with them already are in the same court. Now you went to report, you know. Before the report you brought, before you know they will connect each other, say, ah, mama, don't give me out to report you. Say, he's coming, he's in trouble again.
Now, you have to cry to God. Hallelujah. Unto the one who is able to save us, is able to keep you from falling. His grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. This prayer, this stuff you are diving into, you are delving into, you understand, you understand, you are having insight into, is sufficient for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray for those whose life have been under constant threats. Nakala bron on the queso. The devil decide on the do's and don'ts in their life. Where to go and where not to go. Whom to talk with and whom not to talk with. What to do and what not to do. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the power of the enemy be broken. That your spirit begin to gain ascendancy over the pronouncement of men. You begin to walk in the authority and the power of Jesus. The power of the enemy will be totally broken in your life. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for grace to abide even in this act of praying in tongues. Give us deeper insight and deeper understanding. Thank you, Lord and Father. He said we through the Spirit mortify, irrespective of the choky environment we find ourselves. Situation and circumstances of life and environmental forces, they are not the one that will determine how we live our life. But the Word of God will determine how we live our life. Lord, we do away with our natural desire. Or we break away from that bondage to self, from that enslavery to self. The spirit of self-love is broken in our life. Lord, we are prisoner of Christ. Our mind have entered into the captivity of the Word of God. Our mind is set on the things above. Our mind is set on the things of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The devil have no place in our life. He cannot use us against other people, and he cannot engage us in activities that are lawless, ungodly, and that are not of God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we become vessels of honor in your hand, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, in this season of harvest, give us grace so that our eyes will begin to see the harvest. We begin to do everything we do today because of the reality of the harvest, not because of our natural desire and personal concern. Our needs will not move us to do the will of God, but the harvest will move us to do the will of God. Give us a meat that we know nothing about. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we begin to hit this and be consumed with the will of God, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that the power of consumption be broken in our life, and we begin to set out to do the will of God from the heart. Thank you, Lord and Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah.